My toy cabin I'd built out of Lincoln logs was a masterpiece. Or so it seemed to me as I sat in my grandmother's living room as a young child. As I stood up to show it off, I lost my balance, began to fall, and while trying to keep from falling, I accidentally stepped on the log cabin my sister was building, breaking her cabin into pieces. My sister ran to Grandma, complaining that I'd destroyed her cabin. Not realizing it was an accident, Grandma gave her permission to knock my cabin over, and my sister gleefully did so. I was angry, not just because my little log cabin was destroyed, but because I'd been blamed and punished for an accident. In my mind, this was profoundly unjust. So I took matters into my own hands. I went outside and knocked over every piece of my grandma's outdoor furniture in her yard to get even. Boy, did I regret that later. I had overreacted, to say the least. My anger got the best of me, and I'd lost my temper. Human anger is very often like that, unrighteous, self-serving, and over the top. God's anger, however, is very, very different. Yet some believe that since God is love, he should never be angry. Is that true? Is love always contrary to anger? If so, what about the biblical stories that speak of God's anger or wrath? Perhaps you have heard the claim that the so-called Old Testament God is a God of wrath, but the so-called New Testament God is a God of love. Is that true? No. It is true that the New Testament consistently teaches that God is love. However, it is a myth that the Old Testament God is a God of wrath in contrast to the New Testament God. The so-called Old Testament God is the same as the New Testament God. Let me say that again. The so-called Old Testament God is the same as the New Testament God. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament consistently teach that God is love. As Psalm 86, verse 15 puts it, "But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth." Now, some mistakenly think God is perpetually angry in the Old Testament. But paying close attention to the storyline of Scripture shows long ages between instances where God brought judgment. And during those long ages between judgments, God did everything he could to restore and save his people. Thus, the prophets describe God as exceedingly long-suffering, exceedingly merciful beyond all reasonable expectations. While people today, especially in the Western world, tend to ask why God brought judgment, the biblical authors repeatedly asked why God did not bring judgment more swiftly and more often to reestablish justice. The Old Testament God and the New Testament God are the same. Do you want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate display of what God is like, perfectly loving. And he himself proclaimed, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." But doesn't the Bible speak of God's anger or wrath? What about that? How is that consistent with love? I say much more about this in my book, God With Us. For now, let me ask you to imagine you have a beloved child, and you're watching that child playing on a swing set. Then, seemingly out of nowhere, a man appears and knocks your child off the swing and starts kicking your child repeatedly. Wouldn't you be angry? If not, there's something wrong with you. If you love your child, such an evil attack would anger you with rightful anger, what we call righteous indignation. When someone becomes angry for all the right reasons. Should not God also be angry when evil attacks his children? God hates sin because sin always harms at least one of his children, even when it is self-inflicted. And how many people are God's children? In the broadest sense, everyone. So every instance of sin and evil hurts at least one child God loves, even when it is self-inflicted. Sin and evil anger God precisely because God is love. God could not be perfectly good and loving if he did not hate sin and evil. Yet the injustice in this playground story is dwarfed by the great evil humans have committed against one another over the ages, including all kinds of atrocities like child sacrifice. Precisely because God loves deeply, God is deeply pained by evil. Now, earlier, I highlighted that the ultimate revelation of God in human history is found in Jesus himself. Anyone who has seen Jesus has seen the Father. And Jesus himself provides the ultimate manifestation of divine love. Yet because Jesus loves deeply, the evils in the world provoke him to intense but always appropriate anger. Because Jesus loves so deeply and is always and only good, Jesus became angry at the temple in Jerusalem. His anger there was righteous indignation. Why? What happened? Matthew 21, verses 12 through 13 tells us, Jesus drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves, declaring they were making God's house a den of thieves. The very place that was to represent God's gracious forgiveness and cleansing of repentant sinners was being used to exploit and oppress the most vulnerable, exchanging people's money into the standard coinage for an additional fee, causing a hardship to the poor. It is no coincidence then that the language Jesus uses draws on Jeremiah 7, which emphasizes to not oppress the alien, the orphan, or the widow. Christ's righteous indignation against those who were making God's house a den of thieves was an expression of his love for the downtrodden and oppressed. Indignation against evil and compassion for the downtrodden is the proper reaction of righteous love. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, throughout the entire Bible, the anger expressed by God is simply the righteous response of love against evil, because evil always harms at least one person God loves, even when it is self-inflicted. Now, some think a God of love should not become angry, that love and wrath are incompatible. But Scripture paints a very different picture, teaching that divine wrath is just the appropriate response of love against evil. Now, human anger is often incompatible with love. That's true. God's righteous indignation, however, is different. Human anger often overreacts, but God's anger is always the perfect response of love against evil for the good of everyone concerned. I mean, what kind of love would not be angered by the abhorrent suffering that humans inflict on one another? It is actually good news that God becomes angry at evil because it displays both God's justice and his love. We can be confident that he cares and he will make all things right in the end. So the next time you think of God's wrath, do not envision the vindictive villain, but envision instead the mother mourning the harm done to her children. God's anger at sin is grounded in his love for us, and everything God does is always loving.